Hi there, and welcome to the Microsoft AI Developer Bootcamp. Today, we're standing on the leading edge of an AI-fueled revolution in the software development industry. It's going to completely transform how we build software in the decade to come. In this webcast series, we're going to be looking at the breadth of the Microsoft AI platform and show you how to use it to build solutions that were unimaginable just a few years ago. My name's James, and I'm going to be your facilitator for this series. I work for a technology consulting group called Zomata, based out of Washington in the United States, and we work closely with the Microsoft AI team. So it's great to be here today to talk to you about some of our experiences and to highlight the potential of this great platform. My background in AI started, like many of yours, I imagine, at university. And after a fairly lengthy hibernation, it's become highly relevant again. In the intervening years, I've built solutions for customers all over the world, including a short stint at Microsoft as a software developer in a small corner of Windows Server. Before we get into the material, I'd like to invite you to leave your comments and feedback. We value these. And you can also feel free to reach out to me via the contact details on screen. The topic that we're about to embark on today is big. Microsoft has a very substantial investment in artificial intelligence. But before we dive into the technology, I'd like to answer three questions to give you a little bit of background. The first question we're going to talk about is, what is artificial intelligence? The next question is, what can it do for us as software developers? And then finally, we're going to have a look at what Microsoft has in this space. So first, what is artificial intelligence? Well, like any popular topic, there are a number of different definitions. Let's stick to the Wikipedia definition to start with, because most of the definitions for artificial intelligence share something about machines mimicking the functions of humans. I think it's pretty clear to anyone that's been in this space for any period of time is that we're not at the level of a Terminator artificial intelligence just yet. In fact, some say we're struggling to meet that of a rat. However, we've identified three areas where artificial intelligence today can make big improvements in everyday processes. The first one is reasoning. Artificial intelligence allows computers to reason over imperfect data and use experience rather than hard-coded programmatic rules. And this is a big change to how we've worked with computers in the past. The next is understanding. So this is how we can use AI to understand non-traditional forms of data, like voice, like images. And then finally, interacting, how we can use artificial intelligence to form new and more natural patterns of interactions with our customers, using things like conversation as a platform. So many people are asking, why now? What has suddenly changed to make AI such a popular and exciting area for computing? The first thing to know is that AI isn't new. The fundamental principles behind it have their origins back in the 50s and the 60s. In fact, I had a computer science professor many years ago at university that reflected that if you're a student in the 50s and the 60s, either you were part of the free love revolution or you were studying computer science. Such was the significance of the advances at that time. So if these algorithms have their underpinnings in technology that was discovered over half a century ago, what has changed and made them so relevant today? Well, three things have come together to unlock the potential of this research. The first is big data. We have now, as a species, more data than ever before, and we are continuing to generate it at an exciting rate. Not only can we generate more data than ever before, we're actually retaining it thanks to cheap and plentiful storage. One of the fundamental principles of any kind of machine learning is having sufficient data for the machine to learn from. And big data has unlocked this potential. The next is compute power. Obviously, CPUs have been getting more and more capable year after year for a long time now. But what's fundamentally shifted in recent years are two things. One, the rise of the GPU, which turns out to be extremely efficient for training complex machine learning models. And two, the rise of the public cloud. All of a sudden, we can rent a supercomputer for 30 minutes and only pay for the time that we use. So suddenly we have all of the compute that is required to calculate and to build these highly complex models. And then finally, more powerful algorithms. This area of research has been active for the last 50 years. We've seen significant advances in mathematics and in machine learning. And these things together with better compute and bigger data sets have unlocked the potential of this area of research. So how do we go about AI? I referenced machine learning just a moment ago, but that's not the only way to go about AI. And people have been trying different approaches to AI for a long time. That is, building systems that mimic some form of human intelligence. If you're old enough, you might remember this character, Clippy. He was a Microsoft Office assistant that was able to detect when you were doing particular tasks and offer you assistance in a very human-like way. Now, Clippy wasn't terribly successful, but it was absolutely a form of early artificial intelligence. Other early forms of artificial intelligence include things like Deep Blue, IBM's supercomputer that beat a grandmaster at chess back in 1996. What this has in comparison with Clippy, it's kind of hard to see. However, both of these forms of AI were based on a large rule set that developers assembled, combined with ample compute to consider different possibilities. In neither case did they have any machine learning capabilities, which limited their evolution and their capabilities. Now, at some point, developers get sick and are simply unable to build any more rules into a program. And that's where machine learning comes in. Machine learning is a fundamentally different approach to artificial intelligence. Rather than coding up rules, we can actually give the machine examples and data sets to learn from. And the machine can identify patterns within these data sets without us having to manually code up rules. And for complex problems like speech recognition, this technique has proven itself to be much more adaptable and much more performant than a traditional rules-based approach. But it's actually a little bit more specific than that. There are many different machine learning algorithms, but the one that has proven itself to be most applicable to artificial intelligence is an approach called neural networks, or more specifically, deep neural networks. And in the final module, we're going to dive into this in some detail. But know that most of the technologies that we talk about today are underpinned by deep neural networks. And one of the interesting characteristics of deep neural networks are that the more data we're able to provide to them, and the more complex these networks can get, the more effective and the better the predictions they make will be. So that's an overview of what artificial intelligence is. What can it do for us? What can it do for us as software developers? It's really important to recognize that artificial intelligence isn't some kind of future concept. It's here today and is being used by organizations all over the world to change how they do business. So before we go in and dive into the technology, I'd like to share with you a few examples of how this technology is being used today. First off, IDC estimates AI represents a $1.2 trillion opportunity over the next 3 years. And, well, only time will tell if this is accurate. What we can say today that is that AI is already an enterprise differentiator. Either you or one of your competitors will use this to achieve a competitive advantage in your industry. And if we look at those three different perspectives on AI, reasoning, understanding, and interacting, through a business lens, we can see some of the possibilities here. When we think about reasoning, we can see how organizations can unlock their massive data assets, their unique data assets, through machine learning algorithms. When we think about understanding, we can think about how AI can unlock a lot of unstructured content, whether it be customer communications, images, voice, video, that was simply unprocessable before. And then finally, how we can interact with our customers. Artificial intelligence can open up entirely new channels. It can enable us to communicate through systems using natural language and modern channels like conversation as a platform. So let's look at a few examples of what AI can do for our businesses. And we're going to look at these examples through the lens of Microsoft's digital transformation effort, which has four pillars. The first one is how to better engage with your customers. And using AI can help us build conversational agents that enable more customized experiences and deliver us better analytics. A great example here is the Bank of Kochi in Japan. They've actually used Microsoft's AI platform to build a hospitality agent that greets and assists customers when they come into a branch. The next one is how to better enable your employees through productivity, through data differentiation, and through surfacing up organizational knowledge. A great example of this is the Renault Formula One team. They collect significant amounts of data off their vehicles during races. And thanks to AI, they've had the opportunity now to analyze it for the first time. They're now capable of predicting the performance of various components in these highly sophisticated machines in future races and adjusting them to get better performance. Thirdly, how we can use AI to optimize operations. How we can make better predictions to improve the efficiency of our internal processes and get better insights about future opportunities to enhance this. One organization that has embraced this is Rolls-Royce. And while you might think that the person that owns the plane also owns the engine, Rolls-Royce has taken a different approach. In fact, Rolls-Royce rents these engines by the hour, so customers only pay when they're in the air flying. This significantly incentivizes Rolls-Royce to make sure that the engine is always operational. So it's critical for them to be able to predict and identify anomalies in the performance of their engines and resolve these before it results in a service outage. And then finally, transforming your products, that is innovating and differentiating compared to your competitors. And a great example of this is AccuWeather. AccuWeather has a significant data set of weather events across the world. Recently, they've taken that and they've combined it with some of their customers' data sets to unlock new insights. For example, they've worked with Starbucks to identify when they're likely to run out of ice and cups due to seasonal weather events. All of these examples are happening right now. Now, AI can be a very difficult concept to define. Exactly what can it do? Sometimes it seems more magical than scientific. Let's have a look at five very specific examples of what AI can actually do for us. The first thing that it can do is to classify data. So given a finite set of categories, what data category does this new record fit into? Second, regression, a very similar approach, but with a numeric output. Third, anomaly detection. In a new data set, find things that look like outliers or are unexpected. Fourth, clustering, taking a large data set and breaking it into groups without any prior information about how to do so. And then finally, reinforcement, or what's next, being able to predict the next word in a sentence or predict the next event in a time series data set. So these five problem types are ideally suited to being resolved with machine learning. And we're going to talk about all of these today. So that's an example of what AI is already doing in our industry for a number of different customers. What does Microsoft offer in this space? What is Microsoft's story, and what are we going to talk about today? Well, Microsoft talks about their AI platform in three separate pillars: the platform itself, comprehensive data, and the business solutions that back these up. Let's talk about each of these in detail. The first is their AI platform. Microsoft's strategy with AI is to bring a platform that you can innovate on. You'll pay as you go, as you consume their services. And that's the end of Microsoft's business model. They're not going to retain your data for their own purposes and monetize in that manner. all of the innovation that Microsoft performs in this space is available for you to access. So as new and exciting techniques are developed in Microsoft Research, these are fed into the products that we can consume. And many of the latest innovations in Office are actually powered by publicly accessible AI services. When we talk about AI innovation from Microsoft, what are we talking about? Well, there are a couple of examples here. Microsoft's ResNet image classification and object detection architecture has won several awards and has been shared publicly and is now available for us to use. We can replicate everything that they do in this space and even extend it. Next, they've also had similar breakthroughs in speech. They've been able to build human speech recognition algorithms that in many cases either meet or exceed the performance of similar call center operators. And this is a breakthrough. This is the first time anyone was able to do this at the level of a human being. So we've talked a lot about the platform. What specifically is it? What specific services does Microsoft offer? Well, the entry point to Microsoft's AI offerings are the cognitive services, and they're available through Azure. There are a number of different cognitive services, and they're grouped into five high-level categories, which we're going to cover today. And those categories are vision, language, speech, search, and knowledge. Now, many vendors offer similar services, but very few offer so many services to us as developers. In addition to these services, they have a set of services that are referred to as their customizable services. And this is a real key differentiator for Microsoft, and is not something that their competitors offer. These custom services allow you to bring your own data and then build on top of models that Microsoft provides. So rather than having to start from scratch and build your own deep learning artificial intelligence system, you can start with a model that Microsoft has mostly completed and then add your own data to finalize it. A great example of this is their custom speech service. This allows you to bring recordings of your users in their natural environments, whether it be in a car or a factory or in an airport. Add this to the service, and the service will learn about how to better recognize the speech of your users. The great thing about the cognitive services is that they're really easy to work with. They're all RESTful services. All you need to do is get an API key, put that in the header of your request, and send up your data. The integration story is exceptionally easy, so it makes it entirely practical to call these services regardless of the development platform you're working with. There are a number of SDKs available as well to make that even easier. Now, in most cases, these services are not just something Microsoft has cooked up. Mostly, these are services that have significant production experience behind them. They're already powering large-scale offerings like Bing, Office, or Azure. So that's the first part of Microsoft's AI platform, the cognitive services, and we're going to be spending a lot of time drilling into these today. The next part of Microsoft's AI offering is the bot framework. This is a platform for building intelligent bots that enable conversation as a platform channels. In the bot framework itself, there's actually very little artificial intelligence. There's no machine learning that's native to this platform. However, it's an ideal channel for building more natural user interfaces for our customers. And we're going to be talking about this in detail in the next session. Next, Azure Machine Learning. Now, Azure Machine Learning is a general purpose machine learning tool. There are many different machine learning algorithms out there suited to different tasks. We're not going to be talking about Machine Learning Studio in detail today. For artificial intelligence or deep learning, we're more likely to jump to the next set of tools. If we want to build our own models from scratch for very specific industry problems, for example, here we can see tumor recognition and medical imaging, then we're probably going to need to build from scratch using a deep learning toolkit. Microsoft's deep learning toolkit is called Cognitive Toolkit, and we're going to be talking about this in the last module of this series. But Microsoft also have great support for a number of the other industry toolkits that are available, like TensorFlow, Caffe, and MXNet. AI is a first-class citizen on Microsoft Azure. Through tools like Azure Batch, we can automate the training of sophisticated and complex models. We can also get up to speed really easily using things like the data science virtual machine, which we'll talk a little bit about later. So there you have it. That is kind of the scope of Microsoft's AI platform. The on-ramp, the getting started place, where we're going to start today is absolutely the Microsoft Cognitive Services. These are really easy to get started with. We're then going to talk a little bit about the customizable cognitive services. We're going to bring our own data to get better performance out of these offerings. And then we're going to end the day talking about Cognitive Toolkit and show you exactly how you can build your own deep learning models from scratch with your data. So that's Microsoft's AI platform. That's the first pillar in their AI story. The next pillar is comprehensive data. As we talked about before, machine learning only works if we have good data sets. And Microsoft can help you unlock the potential of your data regardless of where it's stored, whether it be in analytic databases, data warehouses, Hadoop clusters, document databases, and more. But it's not just about the data platform, it's also about business data. So Microsoft's offerings through Office 365, through Dynamics 365, and others help you pull in very easily the data that is native to your business. The final pillar in Microsoft's AI story is business solutions. Microsoft is an enterprise company. They understand concepts like SLAs, like compliance, like trust, security, and customer support. And the technologies that they offer us in the AI space are already enterprise proven. They power massive scale services like Cortana, Skype, Bing, Dynamics, and many more. So that's Microsoft's AI story, the platform, the data, and the business approach to make it work in your organizations. So with that introduction complete, let's go in and see some of this technology in action. You might have seen this demo before. It's about a fictional insurance company called Litware Insurance, and it's been presented by some of Microsoft's biggest names at conferences all around the world. Let's switch over to the demo machine and see it in action. So here we are at the Litware Insurance website. In this scenario, I'm a customer who wants to purchase insurance for their new vehicle. To do this, I'm going to click on the Get Started button. And instead of filling out a long, complex form about what I want to purchase, I'm engaged by a virtual customer agent. And this agent is capable of a number of different things. The first thing it can do is answer simple questions that our customers might have, like, what can you do? The bot's able to look up the answer in Litware Insurance's knowledge base and respond immediately. It's also multilingual, so I can communicate with this bot in whatever language I prefer. So I can greet it in Spanish, and the bot greets me in Spanish. I can also talk to it in other languages. For example, hola, forgive my poor Spanish. In this case, the bot is able to record.
Hola, soy un bot y puede ayudar a conseguir su seguro 24/7.
In this case, the bot is able to record me speak, send that, transcribe that into Spanish, translate that into English, process it, then translate it back into Spanish and generate a synthetic response so the bot can speak back to me. So let's get down to business. Let's go and request the insurance policy that we need for our new car. So I've asked for insurance, but I didn't specify which type of insurance that I needed. So in this case, the bot's actually going to prompt me. It's going to ask me what kind of insurance I need via this carousel. So it can offer me automotive insurance, property insurance, or life insurance. So let's select automotive. And it now asks me whether I'm an existing customer. I'm going to say yes. And now I'm going to authenticate my identity with the bot. So I'm going to specify my name, which is, for the purposes of this demo, Lance Olson. And now it's offering me an option to use smart authentication. If I say no, I can just authenticate in a more traditional way, like using a PIN or a sign-in. However, I'm going to use smart authentication today. Smart authentication is powered by Microsoft's Cognitive Services platform and allows the bot to recognize my voice, and it also allows the bot to recognize my face. For this, I've had to enroll in advance. So for the first step, it's going to recognize my voice when I say my authentication phrase. My voice is my passport. Verify me. And now it's going to recognize my face. So I'm going to take a quick selfie. And I'm going to look a little bit on the sad side, so forgive me. So now it's going to take the audio recording and the selfie and run it through the recognition APIs. And as you can see, it's not only validated that that image and that recording is of me, it's also adjusted its response based on the emotion that it's detected in that image. So it's provided a more encouraging response, saying that it's going to be as painless as possible. The next thing that it does is ask whether I want to include my 17-year-old daughter on the policy. Now, this is actually using the knowledge that's contained in Dynamics 365 to adjust the experience to this particular customer. So in this case, I'm going to include her. The next question is, what kind of car do I want to insure? And in this case, I'm actually going to try and insure a Ford Focus, which is a sedan. I'm going to say Ford. Then I'm going to specify the model, which is a Focus. And then the year. And I'm going to say it's a 2014. As you can see, it's guiding me through this process and providing shortcut buttons where appropriate. Now it's asking me to upload a photo of the vehicle, and I do actually have one handy, so let me bring that up. Now, I've accidentally uploaded the wrong photo here. I've uploaded a photo of a dog sitting on the lawn. Now, the API behind the bot is actually able to identify this image as a dog sitting in the grass. So that description that's come back with is actually entirely computer generated. Additionally, it's been able to confirm that there is no vehicle in this photo, so it's prompting me to upload another image. I'm now going to upload this image of Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, and I've rather crudely inserted myself into this image using Photoshop. So the bot is able to recognize Satya because he's considered a celebrity. It has over 200,000 people tagged in its API already that it can recognize. But because it knows who I am and it knows my face, it can also recognize the fact that I'm present in the photo. However, there's still no car in the photo. So in that case, it's going to prompt me again to upload something more sensible. So now I'm going to upload a picture of a Ford Mustang. Now that's clearly not the vehicle that I specified. The API is actually able to identify that this is a sports car and not a sedan. So it's going to prompt me again to say this doesn't look quite right. So I'm going to say no. And finally, I'm going to upload the correct image. So in this case, it can identify that it's a car, it's a sedan, and will allow me to complete the quote flow. It's now going to prepare an estimate based on the data that I've provided. And it's going to estimate $316 per month for my insurance policy. Now, this is expensive by most standards. So I'm actually going to reject that. I'm going to provide a negative response to that quote, and I'm going to say, no, that's way too expensive. When I send this through, the bot's actually going to be able to process the sentiment, and it's going to identify that I'm not happy with the offer that's been made. And in this case, rather than trying to continue the chat with the bot, it's going to escalate it to a human agent. And the human agent can then see if they can resolve this particular issue. The next thing we're going to have a look at is the same experience, but from a customer service agent's perspective. And to do that, we're going to have a look at Dynamics CRM. So if we switch over to CRM, we'll see a list of all of the opportunities that the bot is generating. If we refresh the list, we'll see the opportunity that we just completed in the bot. Here's our request for auto insurance for our Ford Focus. And on this single screen, we can get all of the information that we need to close the deal. So this will include a profile of the customer, including how long this customer has been with us and whether they have any dependents. We have a profile of the vehicle, including the data that we've provided, but also information pulled from other sources, for example, an estimation of its value. And we've also aggregated the customer's performance over time in terms of their payment history and whether they've had any tickets. On the right, we can see the history of the chat. We can respond directly to the customer from this one application. And then finally, in the middle, the bot's actually helping the customer service agent in a bunch of different ways. They've got some recommendations at the top. They've identified a churn risk and a recommendation to offer a discount. And in the activity feed, the bot's actually been posting as it's built up and had this conversation with the customer. So the agent can, at a glance, understand what's been happening. Finally, I want to show you a Power BI dashboard. Because everything has been conducted via electronic channels, we've actually been able to capture a whole bunch of analytics from these interactions. We've been able to take the chats and the conversations our customers have been having and run a rich set of analytics over it to understand what's happening in our business. So for example, we can get an understanding of customer satisfaction in real time, the number of escalations, and the performance of some of the machine learning models that underpin this, including customer churn. We can also take that data and start to break it down by region. Litware Insurance is a global company, and if we look at their global map, you'll see that in Australia, they're having some difficulties compared to their other offices. So we can actually drill into that and then understand the impact. So on this report, we can see a global view of new business and the key topics that people are inquiring about via the bot. If we drill in and filter this report by the Eastern Australian subsidiary, we can actually see that things are a little bit different. We can see that customer satisfaction is way down, escalations are up, and some of the key topics that are being discussed are Contoso Insurance, one of our competitors, and also the term expensive, which leads us to believe that we're having some price competition issues in this particular office. And we can gain these kinds of insights in real time thanks to the bot and the analytics that we can run out and conclude from. One of the other capabilities of the Litware Insurance system is its ability to contact customers wherever they might be. And in fact, this is one of the greatest strengths of a conversational bot. For example, if I, as a customer, am working in Skype or Facebook Messenger or whatever preferred messaging channel I use to keep in touch with friends and family, I can also talk to the Litware Insurance bot. So here's an example. I am now in Skype and I've opened a channel with the bot. I can do exactly the same kinds of things as I did in the website, but over this channel as well. So here I can make the same inquiry. For example, I need insurance. And the bot will respond just like it does in the website. It queries what kind of insurance I need because I didn't specify, and it presents me the options in a carousel just like it did on the website. This makes it much easier for organizations to reach out and connect with their customers without having to require them to download an app or to go to a specific website. So that's the Litware Insurance demo. And today, for the rest of these sessions as part of this course, we're actually going to explain how you can build each and every one of these experiences using the Microsoft AI platform. So what did we just see? Well, we saw an intelligent customer service bot powered by the Azure Bot Service. We were able to interact with this bot through a web browser. with an existing site. This bot had a number of really interesting capabilities, and these were powered by the Azure Cognitive Services. We also saw how the bot was able to pull information from Dynamics 365 and customize the questions that it asked our customer. And finally, we even saw how it used Azure Machine Learning to predict customer churn and recommend a discount to our agent. The remaining modules in this series are going to be based around the different cognitive capabilities that Microsoft's AI platform offers. We have 6 modules ahead of us. We're going to start by talking about the Azure Bot framework. We're going to then move on to talking about how we work with natural language, then knowledge, followed by speech, vision, and then finally, we're going to talk about neural networks and the Microsoft Cognitive Toolkit. This concludes the introduction module. I hope you'll join us for the next session on the Azure Bot Service. We'll be right back.